Having on a microphone, unless it's turned up. Has it? Kitch family, have you seen one?
No.
No. Right. You have to manage.
All right.
Ian without one.
Okay. Yeah,
no, is this a microphone? Right. You have to manage without one.
Yes, not a microphone.
It's phone, but not a microphone.
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, it was suggested I might be a person who could fill in a bit of a gap. We had obviously a very complete resume of John's career. I am hopelessly outranked here by people who have long friendships with John, because I only knew him for 20 years. And most of you here are for many, many decades more than that. But the point about that is that my knowledge of John overlapped, obviously, his retirement period. And it started for me when I became a governor of the college in the year 2000. And simultaneously, I was appointed to what was a relatively new board of trustees. Because in 1992, there was an act of parliament that required the separation of governance from trusteeship. And it created two boards, and normally you wouldn't be on both, but there were special provisions for colleges like Farnham College to have one or two people who were on both boards, and that included me. So I became a governor, and I became a member of John's board of trustees, and that was when I first met him. And of course, I was very impressed by John, a very, very imposing person. But I noticed a twinkle in the eye at a very early stage. And he was a man of great erudition and wisdom. And he conducted our meetings very, very cleverly and with a great deal of insight to the issues, well-read and everything else on those issues. And we interfaced with the management of the college on that particular board. And the interface with the governors was through people such as me. And then around the year 2005-2006, the college ran into problems of recruitment. And it was on a downward track, unfortunately. And this was affecting the funding of the college. And the authorities were telling us that the college was not likely to be viable as a standalone college for very long, and that we should start to look for a partner effectively to merge with another local college. And they were very strongly supportive of merging with Guildford. And that was the year that I was lucky enough to become the chair of governors. And it was a very sad thing to have to do, because I'm an old boy of the grammar school, and this particular development, losing the independence of Farnham College, was something which we had to face, and that was my responsibility. Now, it affected John's work, because John was effectively the head of the body that were the landlords of the property. So the entire property is in a charitable trust, and John was the head of it, and I was one of his trustees. And we had to negotiate the changes that were required to the trust deed. And the two of us, together with the clerk, made several trips down to Taunton, which was the headquarters, and still is, I think, of the Charity Commission. And we had some long and interesting and rather legalistic discussions with the Charity Commission, and we reformulated the scheme under which we would operate. We created a new lease between the trust and the college, and the new college, of course, which was then Guildford, and that transition took place. And from that point on, there was actually no local governance of Farnham College. It was all being done from Guildford, and it was being managed from Guildford. But that gave the trustees, shall we say, an enhanced role, because they were on the spot with the welfare of Farnham College, just as a college on its own, very much at their heart. And John took that very seriously. And he, a year later, he actually asked if I would be the chair of that trust. He remained, I'm glad to say, a trustee right through till his death. and he was the first chair, and he was one of the first trustees, and he saw it right the way through until he departed. His work within the trust, in addition to this, was he took a strong interest in anything related to students. He was very happy to sit on the awards committee for the students who were to apply for grants for their project. And he would report back to us, together with obviously two or three other people helping him, on the sort of quality of the applicants that we had each year. He took a strong interest in the performance of the college, and he could respond to some of the claims, because sometimes there are some comparisons that can be made with previous performances, and John was very well equipped to tell us about the years in which we would get several Oxbridge students through, not just one or two. And this was, shall we say, a sort of incentive to the management to look at how things were in the past as well as what they were doing now. So I'm going to miss John massively, because he was always in the background. He didn't impose himself on me, but he was a very, very willing counsellor on all the affairs of the trust. He performed a very, very useful service here in the town of Farnham in this particular area of the ongoing welfare of Farnham College. Let me just tell you one tiny story. His humour would come through in so many things. And I remember on one evening we were being told about the recruitment, which was starting to include quite a lot of Nepalese students, because the Gurkhas, of course, are not a station not far from here. And then when Joanne Lumley pursued her campaign to give right of access to reside in this country to all of the former Nepalese, it brought quite an influx of Nepalese people to the area. And quite a few of these students, who were very, by and large, really quite talented and very good students, were joining the ranks. And John interjected to say, "Gosh, are you going to start cookery lessons?" And that actually did rather, that did provoke someone to say that wasn't a terribly appropriate remark, but we brushed it aside. Thank you very much.
Thank you.